This program is presented by a community producer through Midland Community Television. The City of Midland and MCTV are not responsible for the content of the program. The views presented do not necessarily represent those of the City of Midland or MCTV. If you would like to produce your own program, contact MCTV at 837-3474 or access our website, cityofmidlandmi.gov/MCTV.
The following presentation of the Midland City Planning Commission will begin in a moment. The Midland City Planning Commission is responsible for overseeing the city's master plan, conducting public hearings, and offering recommendations to the City Council on a wide range of local land use issues. The Planning Commission consists of 9 Midland residents who are appointed by the City Council. Planning Commission meets 2 Tuesdays per month at 7 p.m. in Council Chambers at City Hall. This presentation is provided by the MCTV Network, a service of the City of Midland. Replays of this meeting can be found on MGTV Channel 188 on Charter Spectrum, through Channel 99 on AT&T U-verse, or on demand at www.cityofmidlandmi.gov. Select meetings are available on MCTV Network's Government Affairs podcast channel.
Good evening and welcome to this regular meeting of the Midland City Planning Commission taking place on Tuesday, December 12th. This meeting is called to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Please call roll.
McCoy?
Here.
Decaro?
Here.
Craig?
Here.
Panasik?
Here.
Powell?
Here.
Griffiths?
Here.
Kohlinger?
Here.
Thomas?
Here.
Broderick?
Here.
Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
Full house today. Thank you everyone for being here. Next item on our agenda is approval of the minutes. We have 2 minutes to approve this evening, the first of which is from our regular meeting on October 10th. Any revisions or edits, commissioners?
Motion we approve?
A second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from our regular meeting on October 10th. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Those minutes are approved. Next minutes are those from our regular meeting on November 28th.
I move we approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve our minutes from the regular meeting on November 28th. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Those minutes are also approved. Thank you. We'll move to public hearings this evening. We have one public hearing this evening. Before we get started, a quick overview of the public hearing process. We'll begin with a staff presentation and overview of the petition. We'll then invite the petitioner to present before then welcoming public comments and questions. After which we'll give the petitioner the opportunity to come up for rebuttal and final comments before closing the public hearing. And this evening, we have one item on the one public hearing, and that's for site plan number 427.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. So site plan number 427 is for a Dollar Tree on Isabella Street. So the applicant is Woolgast Acquisition Corporation. The location is 3410 and 3420 Isabella Street. Zoning for the subject property is NC Neighborhood Commercial. And again, the proposal is for a 9,800 square foot Dollar Tree convenience store. So this is a larger aerial view of the subject property. You'll notice that it's actually comprised of two separate parcels on the kind of northeast corner of Vance and M20 or Isabella Street. The site is currently vacant. There are remnants of what was most recently Furlow's Pizzeria, I believe. Pizza and pasta. So there's some remnants of concrete and asphalt here from that restaurant. And then the rest of the subject property is a mixture of natural you know, grass and vegetation, some mature trees and some other flora. The zoning for the subject property, as I said, is NC, neighborhood commercial. That is the same zoning that's along a portion of the M20 here to the east, neighborhood commercial, and then that abuts to the single family, RA1 single family zoning district to the east, and then we have some RA2 single family zoning to the north, and then some RC regional commercial on the west side of Vance Road there, some more single family zoning up here, and then again some RC regional commercial to the south. Okay, so this is the proposed site plan. The proposal does get rid of the existing ingress and egress off of M20, and then kind of changes it to have ingress and egress off of Vance Road. They are also proposing a complete sidewalk system with a pedestrian connection from Isabella Street to the main entrance. We will need to see a pedestrian connection from the Vance Road public sidewalk system. Let's see. Detention basin is located kind of in the rear yard here. I think technically that might be a side yard, but kind of to the rear of the building. The building itself is kind of centrally located between the development lot with parking kind of opposite of the adjacent residential. Here on the west and south side of the property. In terms of parking, they are proposing some deferred parking. So let me see my calculations here. So the development is required to have 44 parking spaces. Currently, they're showing a total of 37 spaces with 8 in this deferred area here. We will need to see a deferred parking agreement submitted by the applicant. They have not done that yet, but we anticipate that'll happen. Similarly, there is some barrier-free detail that we'll also need to see. I believe some signage for the van accessible barrier-free, but the correct number of barrier-free spots is there, even with the additional deferred parking if that does come to fruition. We do have a loading area, unloading area here to the west side of the building. Dumpster kind of to the south, or excuse me, to the north of the building, kind of in the rear. And then we also have this HVAC pad. It does appear to be screened. We are waiting for confirmation on that. It looks like there's some gates here, so. The dumpster does include the screening with a wall and then the compliant gates at the front. So we just need confirmation that the mechanical equipment is screened as well. Let me go back to the site plan. Let's see what else. There's a number of trees that are proposed to be preserved on site. The detention basin location would actually remove 4 existing trees. However, that is for the betterment of the stormwater management for the site. For the interior parking lot landscaping, and I'll show the landscaping plan here in a minute, but we do have these areas here that were included on the site plan, just as kind of like a hatched. There's some catch basins close to them. And then some light poles. However, we would like to see some, the interior parking lot landscaping included more interior to the site. So kind of these locations here that are kind of gray, we'd like to see some landscaping there. So this is the landscaping plan. The proposal does include a 6-foot high privacy fence. It's kind of this shadow box design is what was included on the site plan. All the way along the north side of the property line, and then most of the east side here as it abuts the residential properties to the east. In addition, it does provide the screening, landscape screening, on the development side of the site plan. So that kind of works in conjunction with that. Again, a lot of landscaping adjacent to the street. It's required to have 128 shrubs and 16 trees, which it does fulfill that requirement. Okay, a couple of outstanding items. Additional hydrants are needed. So I'll go back to the site plan here. Should have mentioned that before. So it was noted by the fire marshal during site plan review that an additional hydrant would need to be located here at the northernmost driveway. And then some clarification on whether or not the building is sprinklered. If it is, it will need a hydrant within 100 feet of the FDC. And then another, if it's unsprinklered, it will need an additional hydrant within 400 feet, I believe. Okay. As I said, pedestrian connection from the proposed sidewalk system along Vance Road to the building's main entrance. We'll need to see an addition of a bike rack somewhere on the site plan. The compliant parking details for barrier-free spaces, that van accessible space. And then driveway spacing details, we will need to see that on the site plan. Here along Vance Road to the west side, it's kind of cut off on this picture here, but we will need to see where those driveways are located. We do have one here that's pretty much across from this one here, but there are additional driveways along this stretch that we need to see on the site plan, just for measuring purposes. And then again, that deferred parking agreement to the satisfaction of the city attorney. And then also we need to see proposed building elevations. So those kind of side profile views of the convenience store. So staff recommends that Planning Commission not issue a final decision on the site plan until those updated plans are received and reviewed by city staff. The applicant is actively engaged with city staff, so we anticipate that we'll have those updates fairly soon. That being said, tonight is the public hearing, and then Planning Commission would consider this January 9th, again, if we receive those updated site plans by the time this packet comes out. So we believe that they'll have it ready, but again, we'll kind of wait and see what we get. We have not received any public comments submitted. And with that, I'll entertain any questions.
Thanks, Ryan. Any questions, commissioners?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Can you speak to the land? You said there was some additional landscaping in the parking lot? Or is there some curb area or something that?
So we do, there are some provisions within the zoning ordinance that talks about the parking lot landscaping is ideally meant to be, to enhance the pedestrian and vehicular circulation to be located more internally. However, these areas kind of in this deferred parking area, specifically here and here, would be compliant with the interior parking lot landscaping. They do have this noted up here as interior parking lot landscaping. That is not, does not meet that requirement, but it does provide screening, additional screening for the parking lot and loading area along this west side here. What I was kind of mentioning is they have these little pieces where there's no parking located. We'd like to see the interior parking lot landscaping located in those areas. You can kind of see some more here.
So like extending the curb around there?
Okay.
Because we're missing interior landscape or parking lot landscaping at this point, right? There's not enough of it?
Well, technically there is enough there. Let me pull up the section of code that talks about it. Like I said, these pieces down here do add up to the required interior landscaping. But again, in Article 6, 6.02, Section F, and kind of the first provision there, the parking lot landscaping should be located more internally. To improve the appearance of the parking area. So just a small note that we'd like to see on that.
To answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Other questions?
Can you explain what the deferred parking agreement involves?
Sure. So whenever a site is required to have parking, an applicant can reduce that amount of parking if they provide an area for that parking should it be needed. So the Planning Commission, I believe it's 6 months, can actually come back and say, hey, this site actually needs that additional parking. And that would be outlined in this deferred parking agreement that the city would then have the teeth, so to speak, to require this development to have that additional parking.
Thank you.
So along that, it's not already prepared parking, it's just if we were to go that route, or was it required?
Correct. Okay. Yep. So the site essentially is designed to accommodate that, but it unless it needs to be built, it won't be part of the actual construction of the development.
Okay. Yeah, I just another question on that. I don't believe often see deferred parking agreements. So just trying to understand the implication of that at the end of the day, because I don't think we do them that often, do we?
I'm trying to remember the last one that we did.
Andy's Place had a deferred parking agreement associated with it.
Yes.
That was an office on where that project was located. We're proposing less parking than would otherwise be required for a multiple family.
How is it determined that we would or would not need them to build, you know, I mean, you guys walking around the parking lot and...
So the code calls for the building department to observe and provide a recommendation to the Planning Commission if they, based on that observation, there's a need for that additional parking, and then that would come to the Planning Commission for confirmation, and then we would require its construction in accordance with the agreement.
I think the only question I had, Ryan, was I know we can't see all the driveways, but of the driveways that we can see, is there any issue with that one driveway that we can see? I know it's in pretty close proximity of the existing curb cut that's proposed.
Correct. I don't believe there's going to be any issues with the driveway spacing.
Okay.
The specific to where this is located, Vance Road being a local roadway, it doesn't have very stringent driveway spacing standards.
Okay.
Sometimes not even... like ever have any driveway spacing standards.
But I can tell you that 505 Vance has no curb cut.
Oh, okay.
There's not one there.
Okay.
I was going to ask a similar question along that line of, I'm assuming so, but the distance between M20 and that first curb cut off of Vance Road, that means, is there a regulation that it's required there, or is that?
Yes.
There is one.
Okay. Yep, so from that intersection at M20, again, it's kind of down here at the very bottom, but anyway, so from this first driveway here at Vance Road, center line to center line of Isabella Street, M20, it's about 197 feet, which does meet the driveway spacing standard for a local or a development along a local slash arterial, I believe. So we're looking at 75 feet is the minimum, and it's about 197 feet. And then this is about 165 feet spacing, which again doesn't I think technically really come into play, but for local roadways it's a minimum of 50. So there's again 165 between the two proposed. But again, just for a complete site plan, we'll need to see just if there's additional driveways on west of Vance Road.
Any last questions, commissioners? All right, thank you, Ryan. So as we're inviting the petitioner to come up present, we'll just remind everyone that according to our rules of procedure, we're having the public hearing this evening, but we will not be rendering a decision until our next meeting in January at this point. So we'll need a name and address to get started, and then we'll turn it over to you.
Brian Stadler from 7551 Geddes Road in Saginaw, Michigan. Good evening, I'm with Walgas Corporation. Thank you, Ryan, for that presentation. I'll just add a little color to some of the things that have been talked about. So we did have the property rezoned, so we're trying to basically design it per the zoning, with the exception of the deferral. We've tried to keep the whole development towards the corner to maintain as many trees as possible around the perimeter, the existing mature trees. And so that's, you know, so we're trying to, you know, satisfy that buffer. As far as the parking deferment goes, the reason we ask for it is because the client only requires 37 spaces. There's benefits to that in the sense that we're not creating more stormwater runoff. We're keeping our detention basins as small as possible and those kind of things. I don't have any specific studies, but I'd say at peak times for these stores, which is usually around 6 o'clock, you know, you're probably looking at 12 to 15 cars, including employees, max. So the 37 just seem to be more than enough spaces for their needs. So, yeah, I think the agreement will center around not enough parking, cars parked in aisleways, cars parked on the road, you know, those kind of things that would create some reason to add spaces. So we're pretty comfortable with an agreement that's kind of focused on that. So we'll work with Ryan to handle that. Just a note on the second drive heading to the north. The reason that we originally had the site plan without that, but there's a double line on Vance Road from the corner that goes quite a ways down the road. And so the tenant was very concerned that that would cause illegal turns into the front approach. And so that's why we added the second drive, was because of that issue. The site does work with one drive. We are required to provide what's called a WB67 truck turning radius for a semi-truck, and they have to be able to come in and navigate the site without hitting any parking spaces and those kind of things. So they're very conscious about the trucks not backing off of roads and those kind of things. So the site does work with one drive, but the client requested the second drive due to the double line in the road. The trash corral is masonry with steel gates and cedar slats on the face of it, so it's well built, looks good. The HVAC equipment in the back will be screened with a vinyl fence. It does have gates for maintenance reasons and those kind of things. So those were just a couple of things I wanted to hit on. So and then I'll take any questions if it's appropriate.
Thanks, Brian. Questions, commissioners? I think the only thing that we haven't heard from you on is the landscaping on the interior.
Yeah, and we are working to comply with all the comments from staff.
Okay. And then also the no issue with showing the additional driveways as well?
No issues. No.
Okay. Thank you, Brian.
All right, thank you.
Go ahead and open it up to public comments and questions. Yeah, I just need you on the blue mat. Name and address to get started, please.
Good evening. My name is Carrie Warren. I reside at 3409 Cedar Street. So I am, if you look at the corner property,
northeast corner,
my corner does not quite touch. I am the first house over on Cedar Street.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there was some concerns about the roads on Vance and what's over here. The one drive that's right across is a car wash that's not being used. Vacant land. Then there is a teacher union building, which is a combined drive with a carpet store. So reality, there's nothing over there that's of any major issue. I know their trucks have a really hard time turning into the carpet store when they have deliveries. So the advantage of a wider road on Vance at the beginning for the trucks for here will be absolutely perfect. I do have a question. I see that they're going to put a 6-foot fence. What is the maximum height requirement?
So we'll take your questions and we'll do our best to answer them at the end. So we've got the fence question. What else can we answer for
because
you?
That's only 6 foot. We all have decks. I can guarantee you 6 foot's not high enough. I would be happier with maybe 8 if we could get away with that. I was actually hoping they wouldn't touch the fence, to be honest with you, but I'll settle for anything at this point, for just that added privacy for that back corner, because when I stand on my deck, I can see all the way across M20, and I can see the light on the stores across the road. So just a little more privacy. I'm glad they're leaving the trees. I want, your site plan didn't have quite enough trees in that corner. So I would like a couple more trees in the corner back there would be nice. But I know people are gonna tell you, what about traffic and this, that, and the other thing. I've done my research. I don't want a light. I've lived there for 30 years. No traffic light will solve the problems there. It will actually make them worse. The accidents that happen there, don't let anybody fool you. There's not that many accidents out there at that corner. There are more accidents, and this is what I was very excited about. The turn lane, so that we can get off onto Vance Road. Prior, with the old restaurant there, they had entrance into the restaurant right there, which caused more problems than it was worth, because you didn't know if somebody was actually turning in front of you versus turning at the corner. The potential for rear-ending was a huge deal. So this is absolutely perfect that they on the In-N-Out is on Vance Road, so there is none of that concern or worry that I might hit somebody in front of me. But there is no solution. I will tell you this. I've gone through. I've lived there 30 years. There is no solution for traffic at that corner, and that's just the way it is. It's something that once you live there, you learn to live with it. Has it gotten out of control? Yes, there's a lot more traffic there. I know people will tell you, what about 20 more cars an hour is not going to hurt that corner any more than it already is. It's the gas station that's actually the problem, and it's not anything on Vance Road. So that was all. I'm happy with this. I didn't come for the zoning. I knew when the zoning came up, that it meant that it had sold, and you know, we fought Tom McCann for a long time, but it wasn't worth it. Something needs to happen there, and Dollar Tree will be very successful, and I'm very happy to have them coming in as a neighbor, to be honest with you.
All right, thank you, Carrie. Appreciate your comments. And we'll be sure to answer your question to the best of our ability. Any other public comments or questions? Public comments or questions? We'll move on. Brian, would you like to come up and provide any final comments or rebuttal?
Regarding the heights of the fence, I think I would just defer to the code on that sense. As far as the trees, happy to work on spacing with the staff, not looking to really add any trees, but happy to work on locations of trees if that's helpful. So.
Thank you, Brian. So we will close the public hearing, and I know we're not rendering a decision this evening, but can you help us address the fence height and
sure.
the code when it comes to that?
So fence height's very simple. In almost every district, including neighborhood commercial, 6 feet is the maximum height for fences, whether required or not. So that would be the maximum that we would look to see here for any required fences.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Carrie. We will render a decision on this at our next meeting on January 9th.
And I should mention, if before you leave, if they're interested in attending that meeting, that will be at the county building. So next door in that boardroom. We'll talk about that more later, but since you're stepping out, if you're interested in attending, you'll want to go next door.
Thank you. So that concludes public hearings this evening. We'll move on to old business. I'm seeing none unless commissioners have anything they'd like to address. We'll then now welcome public comments unrelated to items on the agenda. Any public comments on items unrelated to the agenda? Hearing none, we'll move to new business. We have one item this evening at least. It's the 2024 meeting schedule.
So the meeting schedule presented to you a little bit later than we had hoped. Had a few meeting cancellations for a variety of reasons, but bring it forward today for 2024. Follows our usual pattern, second and fourth Tuesdays, one meeting in December. The month of February, we are proposing to shift our schedule to the first and third Tuesdays. Ryan and I will both be out of state attending training on the fourth Tuesday, and we obviously need to accommodate the Zoning Board of Appeals that also meets on Tuesday, so they're scheduled to meet on the second Tuesday in February. This was, we believed, the best way to balance our schedule so that petitioners and applicants were able to be heard promptly, and we didn't have the meetings too close together to really work efficiently. So I'm just looking for action tonight to approve the schedule if it works for the Planning Commission.
By moving the dates in February, do we, I'm assuming the answer is no, but just to double check, are we still giving adequate or the same amount of time for applicants to get the materials in, public notices to be made, things of that nature?
Yep, the filing deadlines are all set based on the hearing date, and so those would all shift a week accordingly. Okay. To provide adequate time for internal review and for public noticing.
So what, I'm sorry, what dates in February where are we?
So the February meetings would be on the 6th and the 20th.
Okay, so both move, not just the one.
Which would be first and third Tuesdays.
Okay. And then March resumes normal?
Yes, and then March would be back to second and fourth for the remainder of the year until December. Well, we'd have one meeting scheduled for the 17th.
And then I know the routine questions we have are the November 26th, I believe, is the week after Thanksgiving, correct?
That is the week of.
So that would be the Tuesday before Thanksgiving?
I believe so, yes. Yes, that is the Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
Okay. I don't think we've had issues with that in the past, but I just want to ask the commission if they think that's going to be an issue.
I should note this meeting, this schedule also includes a meeting during the public school spring break.
Should be which date?
So that's going to present an issue. That would be on March the 26th. Okay. It's the.
So similar question. I don't think we've met during spring break week for a while now. Does anybody foresee that being a?
I won't be
my here. Final spring break.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited.
Is that problematic for anyone else?
Might not be able to be here. It's I have some potential.
So we will, I think we're going to need to look at moving the 26th.
Okay.
That's four right there.
All right.
And I have a feeling it's going to get bigger.
Yeah. If we have an issue with March 26th, our best bet would probably be to look to the prior Wednesday.
Okay.
Based on other meeting schedules and availability, which would be Wednesday, March 20th.
Okay. Then an agreeable alternative?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm with that.
Any other issues? Speak now if I ever hold your peace.
If we have an issue with that, with room availability, we will we can bring this back for adjustment.
All right. So you do need a motion, though, correct?
Yeah.
On the Thanksgiving, I'm fine, but was there any other conflicts that was the week of?
I haven't planned that far ahead yet.
Not a schedule.
Can you send this out to the new schedule to us?
Yeah, we will. So I'm going to make a motion that we approve the 2024 meeting schedule with the revision moving the March 26th meeting to March 20th.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the 2024 meeting schedule with one revision moving the March 26th meeting to March 20th. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Our meeting schedule is approved for next year, and we will get a revised version at some point.
We'll confirm those dates on the calendar, and we'll send that out to everyone in advance of the next meeting.
Okay. Any other new business from commissioners? We'll move to communications. I don't see any here, but I know you reminded us of a training opportunity coming up via email, correct?
Yes, there's a, I had to think for a second. Yes, there is a housing summit taking place in early January. At SVSU, it's a free opportunity. I've heard really good things about the panel of speakers that are set to present. And so if you're interested, Brian and I will be there, as well as a variety of other people from the community. So I encourage you to consider it if you're free.
Okay. Moving now to report of the chairperson. Would like to start by thanking Mecki for volunteering her time last week, I believe it was. We did a Q&A with MCTV on the master plan, so appreciated you volunteering and giving your time there. Ultimately, just want to thank the entire commission. This is our last meeting of the year, there's been a lot that's been on our agenda, so I appreciate your continued attention to detail and participation your commitment to the community this year, and looking forward to next year as well. With that, I'll turn it over to you for the report of the planning director.
Thank you. So as I indicated earlier, with the remodeling of City Hall progressing, the chamber is in the next phase of our project, and we will be relocating to the Midland County Services Building, so next door, 220 West Ellsworth, for the months of January and February. For our public hearings, we'll be meeting in the County Commission Boardroom, which is on the first floor, right inside the space. So this is our last meeting in this room and its current configuration forever. So we still have a few meetings in here, so don't take anything, but no souvenirs tonight. But it will be the last one, and we'll be back hopefully in the reconfigured space in March. And if we aren't, you can blame Sean. At your January 9th meeting, we will have a public hearing on zoning petition 656, which was originally scheduled for your November 28th meeting. That's a zoning petition for 6400 North Saginaw Road. It's a parcel that annexed into the city from Homer Township recently. We will look forward to decision, hopefully, on site plan 427, which was heard tonight. We anticipate bringing you your 2023 annual report for adoption. We will have final comments from the public on the Midland City Modern Master Plan. That 63-day review period wraps up on Thursday of this week. And we'll be looking for the Planning Commission to provide staff with final direction on any amendments you'd like to see to that plan before it comes back to you for adoption. We will also be introducing the 2025 to 2030 Capital Improvement Plan. So just a few things going on at your next meeting, so please plan to attend. And I will echo Andrew's statement. Thank you for your service over the past year. It has been a very busy year, occasionally controversial, and it's appreciated that you've all hung in there and contributed. And Merry Christmas.
We'd be remiss as well, and if I didn't thank MCTV as well for helping us present these meetings and making sure that they continue to be accessible to the public even if they are not able to be here. So thank you to MCTV and all that you do as well. With that, I'm looking for a final motion of the year.
I move we adjourn.
I'll second.
Motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. This program is presented by a community producer through Midland Community Television. The City of Midland and MCTV are not responsible for the content of the program. The views presented do not necessarily represent those of the City of Midland or MCTV. If you would like to produce your own program,
Contact MCTV at 837-3474 or access our website, cityofmidlandmi.gov/MCTV. We hope you enjoy the following presentation.